You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
I want to just thank you for your giving week after week. And I've said this often, I'm going to say it again today. When you're giving, you are not giving to an organization. I just want you to know that. You're not giving to give people jobs, but you're giving to the mission of God. And if you believe in the mission of God that He has called us to, that is to reach our community and to reach our world with the good news of the gospel, and I just pray that you'll connect, because I believe giving is a part of being a Jesus follower, because we're advancing His gospel. So I just thank you for that. We're just entering a brand new budget year, and I thank you for your faithfulness and your tithe and your offering and all that. And as a result, people's lives are going to be changed. I believe that, or wouldn't be standing here today, and I thank you for that. We're beginning a new series here in a couple weeks. If you've been with us, we just concluded the Way of Wisdom. So we looked at two of the wisdom books. We looked at Job, and we looked at Psalms, and then we have today, and then our Wolof connection again next week. I just do encourage you to be here. You're going to be amazed at the stories that you will hear next Sunday. The following Sunday, 2 weeks from today, starting a brand new series called Echo, and it's all about your life making a difference and my life making a difference. So that's coming up. But this morning, grab your Bibles or take your tablet or your smartphone in this place where we say, bring your tablet, bring your smartphone, launch YouVersion Live. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible, you don't own a Bible, when you leave, there is a stand in the lobby, and the Gateway gives away literally hundreds of Bibles. And so if you don't own one, or you're a growth group leader and you have someone in your group who does not own a Bible, grab one. It's our gift to you. You don't have to fill anything out or ask. Just take it with you. And go to the book of Colossians, and just keep your finger there. We're going to be there in just a little bit. This morning I want to talk about something that God has truly spoken to me about in my own life and then in the life of our community here, and I believe in your lives as well. Now I would just tell you this very, very close to my heart. It's the one thing that we must do. It's the one thing that I must do. It's the one thing that every Jesus follower must do daily. If you are a parent, you're a mom or a dad, it's the one thing that you have to lead your kids in. It's the one thing that you have to talk to your kids about. You have to train them. It's the one thing, again, that we have to do as a faith community here. In fact, people like myself, people who have the privilege of serving people like you in a church like this, really on a scale of satisfaction and dissatisfaction in this one area, really fall towards a dissatisfaction more than anything else. Look at this. This one thing, the 16%, only 16% of the pastors are satisfied with what we're going to talk about today in their own lives. 47% somewhat satisfied. 47%. 30% somewhat dissatisfied. And 7% very dissatisfied about this one thing. Yet, it's this one thing that absolutely changes the world. It's the one thing that will change our community. It's the one thing that if we don't do, I believe nothing will take place. It's the one thing that we have to commit ourselves to. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. Keep your finger in Colossians, but turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and it's also coming up on the screen. The book of Chronicles, and particularly this verse, is probably one of the best known and maybe the most loved in all of Chronicles. And as you read through that, we read about the stipulations that God lays down for a nation to experience His blessing, whether it's the nation of be Solomon's or Ezra's or our own nation. He says these things must happen, these things must take place. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. As you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if I were to ask you, just circle the one thing that you think we're talking about today, circle the word or maybe the phrases, just think about what would it be? Maybe some of us would circle that word humble, and that's a great word. We need to be humble. Humility needs to be a part of our lives. Or maybe you would circle words that reflect the need for a repentant heart and a turning to God, and that's true. That's absolutely important. But what word would you circle today? What it is that you, what do you think that we're talking about? The one thing being. What is it? Yeah, prayer. So in your Bibles, if you're someone who writes, circle the word prayer. That's what we're talking about today. We are people who are called to pray. We're going to talk about that. We are people who are to be committed to prayer. We're going to talk about that. We're people who are invited into prayer, and we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. Just listen to what some have said about this one thing. Gordon, A.J. Gordon said this way. He said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. Think about that. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. That's a powerful statement. You know what some of us sometimes do? Like, we do a lot, and then what do? Then we pray and ask God to bless what we just did. You know, we're involved in all this activity, and God, now all the activity that I've been involved in, now God, I would like to lift that activity to you. When the reverse is actually true, you can do more than pray after you pray. So the prayer comes first, and then God leads us down his wisdom ways. That's what we've been talking about. John Wesley says this, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. Baxter, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. Here's what I'd like for you to do. If you're a mom or a dad, put your student in there. Our students, our sons, our daughters, they may spurn our appeals. They may reject our message. They may oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless. Mom and dad, your children, your students are helpless against your prayers. How many know that's good news? You better believe it. If you're a husband, put your wife's name there. If you're a wife, put your husband's name there. Whatever relationship that you're praying, put that name there, put that situation, put that circumstance there. They may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they're helpless against our prayers. One of the memories that is so deep in my heart today, and I grew up in this culture of prayer, is hearing my mom pray for her children, that he would be a father for them, over them, that he'd watch over them, he'd protect them. That's the culture that I grew up. You can't get away from that kind of prayer from a parent. Bill Hymer, many of you have read some of his books. Satan does not care how many people read about prayer if only he can keep them from praying. He didn't care how much you know about prayer if he can just keep you from praying. And the enemy does a lot of things to keep us from praying. Some of it includes the activities that we're involved in. We get so busy sometimes doing stuff that prayer slips by the wayside. Satan doesn't care how much you know, how much you read, or how studied you are in prayer, as long as he can keep you from praying. You've heard me say it before, and when we talk about the Wolof and talking about what took place in Africa when we were there in January, the incredible doors, the unique doors that God opened up as we walked amongst the village people where God has called us to, and we're there, and there's one believer in this village that God has called us to, one believer. And God just incredibly opened up doors for us. And the village chief says, look, my village is your village. And I believe that what happened on that trip is a direct result of a prayer team that's been meeting here for a long time. That happened as a result of prayer, people committed to prayer. I believe that we're going to see incredible things as we commit ourselves individually and as a faith community to this one thing. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Ian Bound says, a little estimate we put on prayer is evidence from the little time we give to it. Just let me ask you this. Go back to that chart that I showed you about satisfaction, dissatisfaction. Where would you line up? Where would you be? Just think about for a moment. Would you put yourself in the really satisfied group, or would you put yourself somewhere maybe in the middle, kind of mildly satisfied, or would you put yourself down here really dissatisfied? Maybe things in life have just crowded out a prayer life for you. That's what we're talking about, this one thing. Now go to Colossians chapter 4 as we take a close look at it. Colossians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 2 and reading through verse number 4. Paul says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God would give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains." And then he says, "Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should." Devote yourselves to prayer. Let's talk about that word devote in God's will for just a moment. Some of us sometimes struggle with that question. What's God's will for my life? What has he called me to do? Where has he called me to go? What's he called me to be involved in? But here's what we don't have to guess at, and that's this area of prayer. That God's will for you and God's will for me is that we would devote ourselves to this one thing, prayer. That as a Jesus follower, we're people who are a praying people. We're to devote ourselves to prayer. It's an urge. It's a command. Paul's urging us in prayer. He's really commanding us in prayer. But I'd like to kind of maybe turn your thinking just a little bit this morning. It's an urge and it's a command. But it's more than that. You know what it is? It's this wonderful invitation by God to lift up our needs to him. We're going to talk about to lift our offerings up to him. It's an urge. It's a command. But it's also an invitation. D.L. Moody was traveling back in the 1800s. And he happened to go into a school where there were hundreds of grade school students. And he asked that question, what is prayer? So if someone walked up to you and said, look, I'd like for you talking about prayer. Could you define what prayer is for me? You know, what would you say? What would your definition be? I'm going to give you just a really simple definition in just a moment. And it comes out of this definition that one of these grade school students shared. D.L. Moody asked, what's prayer? Who can define prayer? Hundreds of hands went up. And he picked on one student, and this grade school student said this, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of his Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. This is the answer to question number 98 in the Westminster Catechism. That's how he answered it. Now, you're not going to answer it that way, and I'm not either. But what is the, out of that definition comes this invitation that as a Jesus follower, we would be involved in prayer. The main thing is prayer. The primary definition is this. It's an offering up of our desires to God. Prayer is offering up our desires and our needs to God. It's declaring our dependency completely and totally on him. It's offering up our desires to God for our family. If you're a parent, it's offering up your desires for your children to God. What are your desires for your sons and what are your desires for your children? If you're married, it's offering your desires for your spouse. If you're involved in a challenging circumstance or situation, it's offering up your desires to God. You see, it's an urge, it's a command, but it's also an invitation to lift our needs to him, to offer up our desires, the things that we desire to him, to God. For our needs, for whatever it is that has come into our life and whatever it is that has taken place. On Friday late night, I got home from Dallas, and a team from here, myself and our missions pastor, Dave Fisher, and three of our global missions team, Cynthia Montang and Joyce Schultz and Rick Gray, Gateway's a part of a global connection leadership community. And so six times we go, we gather with other churches, and we talk about becoming the best church for our community and for our world in the places where Jesus has called us. And remember, I always am careful to say for, not in. There are a lot of great churches in our community. Well, I'm talking about being the best church for our community and for the world in the places that Jesus has called us. So that's what this is all about. So we left here very early in the morning. In fact, we gathered at the church here 2:30 Wednesday morning for an early flight out to Dallas. And so we left at 6:30, and I love in-flight Wi-Fi. Yay for that, right? Because I can work. And so I log on. I got my iPad, and I log on and get a bunch of work done on the way to Dallas. And I'm sitting right here, and Cynthia Montaigne is sitting right here. And we're getting ready to land. And you know what? What do you have to do when the plane lands? Yeah, shut everything off, right? You all do that, right? Okay. And turn off your phone. So I did that, and I put it in the case, and I put it in the seat back in front of me. And Cynthia says, "Now, don't forget that." And I said, "I never forget that." Don't you wish that there are some things you could take back? And Dave Fisher, who was sitting just across the aisle from me, he had a file folder of some of our work, and she said, "Now, Dave, don't forget that," because Dave actually forgot something on our last trip. And so anyway, the plane lands, and we all get up, and we gather our stuff. I put my stuff in my briefcase, and we take off, and we leave the airplane, and we go to the rental car place. And while we're standing there, get the rental car, Dave's phone rings, and it's the stewardess, and says, "You're Mr. Fisher, you left your file folder." And when he said that, I thought, and I opened up my briefcase, and my iPad was missing. I left it in the seat back in the airplane, and I just panicked, because all my work is there and all that. And you know, you just don't get an iPhone back or a smartphone or a tablet. You know, that just like doesn't happen. At least that's what's going through my mind. And so I talked to the lost and found people, and she says, "Well, if we find it, it's 24 to 72 hours before you can get it back." Now that doesn't make sense to me, and I'm going, "You got to be kidding!" And anyhow, this whole thing, you know, I actually blame Cynthia for all of this, by the way. So, not that she didn't mention it. I said, "Here's the problem: you should have followed up on it, you know." So, like when you're walking off the airplane, you should have said, "Did you remember?" Anyway, so we go to the conference, and I sit down. And I'm really fretting over this thing. I really am. And all of a sudden, you know, God just dropped this thing in my heart. And you know what it was? He says, "You know what you're teaching on Sunday?" Because I'd already developed all this. And I sat there and go, I'm thinking, yeah. And so I offered up a prayer. "God, would you just do whatever you need to do so I can get this thing back?" And honestly, in 5 minutes, my cell phone rings. And I hear the lady on the other end, and I go, "Oh, that's so awesome." She goes, "Do you know why I'm calling?" "Yes, you got my iPad." You know, and she did. And it was in response, I believe, to a prayer offered up. Now, an iPad compared to some of the things you're going through is nothing. It truly isn't. But here's the point. Prayer is offering up our desires and the things that we need to God. It's an urging, it's a command, but listen, it's an invitation for you and every and me and every Jesus follower to offer up to Him those things that we need, those things that we desire. It's an invitation from God, and we're commanded to do it. Now, let's look at that word devote for just a moment. Devote simply means this, that we're to persist at and we're to stay with. Prayer is meant to be a conversation where your life and your God meet. That's what Paulson says. You see, here's what happens. Have you ever experienced this? You're talking to somebody, you're going through a challenging time, and they say something like, "Oh, been there, done that." Have you experienced that? Or someone goes, or they say this, "I know exactly what you're talking about." And then you get that wonderful sense that, oh, somebody knows where I am today. Somebody knows what I'm going through. Have you experienced that? I have. And many of you have as well. Listen, the Bible says, He, our Heavenly Father, the one who has urged us to lift up those things to Him, knows exactly where we are today and what needs are in our life. It's this invitation to lift our needs, to lift those things that are our desires, our offerings to the one, to our Heavenly Father who knows all about where we are today. Think about it this way. God loves to be asked. He loves to be asked. Sometimes we think in our prayer life that we're bothering God. God, if I can just bother you for just a moment. God loves to be asked. It's God's will that His people, His children, ask Him for things. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but what's he do? He delights in the prayers of the upright. He delights in the prayer from the righteous person, that person who is his follower. He delights in those prayers. Think about God the Creator, God who with the spoken word created this universe. He delights in the prayers of the upright and being asked for things and offering up our prayers to him. Psalm 17 verse 6 says, I am praying to you because I know that you will answer me. I know that you'll answer me. God always answers prayer. Now I'll just say it. God always answers prayer. Now, let me share with you five ways that he answers. They're not original with me. I've read them, but they're good. Five ways that God answers prayer. The first one, mom, dad, your parent, or even a student, you're going to connect with this. Because sometimes the answer is no, I love you too much. I love you too much. Now, if you're a parent, you've said that, haven't you, to your kids? No, I love you too much. As a son or as a daughter, you maybe were even told that by your parent. You know, when we ask for things, no, and I love you too much, no, the answer is no. And we should be really, really thankful that God doesn't give us everything that we ask for lots of reasons. But sometimes that's the way that he answers. Sometimes it says, yes, but you'll have to wait. And how many just hate that? Let's be honest, right? The answer is yes, but you'll have to wait. See, sometimes God delays answering prayer so that we can develop character qualities such as endurance, such as patience, such as submission, qualities that only come as we trust and wait patiently for him. It's yes, but you'll have to wait. You see, there are a lot of spiritual gains that come through the pain in life that we experience, through the hurt, through the struggle, and through the confusion and disappointment that we experience in life. And as we trust in him, we learn to grow, and we learn to trust in him even more. And we understand that his timing is always best. So sometimes God's answer is yes, but you'll have to wait. And some of us are in the waiting period right now. So the question is, what is it that we're learning? Are we learning to trust him? Some of us are in painful times right now. What is it that we're learning? Are we trusting him, or are we growing more in our patience and more in our endurance? It's what happens during the waiting that's important. It's what happens during the waiting. Thirdly, sometimes it's yes, but not what you expect. That happens too. Yeah, I'll answer that, but it's not quite what you expect. And here's what we come to know, that God is truly a sovereign God, and he knows what's best for your life, and he knows what's best for my life. Sometimes, number four, yes, and here's more, and we love that, don't we? The answer is yes, and I'm just going to bless you, and he's a loving father who blesses us. Sometimes that's how he answers, and sometimes it's yes, I thought you would never ask. And God does that as well. Now, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. So let's go back to there. And I mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to talk about this word, devote, because it's really an important word. Paul says to devote yourselves to prayer. It's a good word to circle. I've already mentioned what it means. It's this urging and this command. It's this wonderful invitation. But the basic meaning behind that word devote, from the Greek word translated here, is this, to stay by. So Paul's saying stay by prayer. It means to persist in prayer. It means to remain with prayer. So you could put any of those words in there. Remain with prayer, persist in prayer, stay with prayer. In the context, it means to hold fast to prayer or to continually be in prayer. Let me take you back to that those percentages at the beginning again. Where are you? When we think about being devoted in prayer, when we think about staying fast with prayer, persistent in prayer, continually in prayer. Where are you? Really satisfied? Somewhat? Or kind of dissatisfied? Where do you find your life being lived in this invitation to offer up those things that we desire, those things that we need to God? You see, the early church demonstrated this devotion in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We read this, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. And there was this devotion. So Paul is saying, what's there? I want this to mark you here in the Colossian church. I want you to have the same characteristics. And so he urges this devotion. And he urges you and he urges me to come into this life of living in such a way that we're continually offering up our needs and our prayers to him. Devote yourself. It means we pray often and we pray regularly. It's not a hit and miss activity for the Jesus follower. What's that look like? Here's what a hit and miss prayer life looks like. We're going through life. Something happens. And what do? Boom, we fall to our knees and we pray. And that's a good thing to do, but that's pretty much when we pray. Life, you know, we move on through life and something takes place and then we pray. That's kind of a hit and miss prayer life. Paul says, devote yourself. Be persistent in. Continually pray. We pray often and we pray regularly. When, where, and how long? That's different for all of us. It's not so much a when or a where. It might be in your home. It might be in your car. It might be on the way to work. It's not even so much as how long. It's when. There must be a when. And there must be a place. There must be a time and a place that we devote to prayer. But most of all, there must be a when. Have you started? Are you a Jesus follower who prays, who is consistently in prayer, who remains in prayer, who is persistent in prayer? My prayer today is that if you're not, start. If you're not, start. If you already are, man, I affirm you, keep on. It urges us to be persistent. Some of us, we don't because we lack a pattern. I want to give you quickly here as we wrap up just a prayer pattern that we use here at Gateway. And if you've been involved in our corporate prayer times, I've used this and we're going to use it again when we come around to the first of the year. But it's a prayer pattern, I think, that will help all of us remain in and stay consistent in, persistent in prayer. And all you got to do is remember the book of Acts. It's real easy. Acts A stands for adoration. So in our prayer life, individually and in our families, you can lead your families in this. We spend time adoring God. That is worshiping God. Recognizing who he is. He's God. He's the creator. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. We spend time in adoring him, in worship to him. And then we move to this area called confession. And that's really an important area that we develop in our prayer life. So we have a time of adoration where we worship him, and this time of confession. And that is, we're opening up our heart and opening up our life to him, asking him, God, whatever is in my life that hinders my relationship with you, I want you to point that out. Now, I'll say it again. I've said it many times. I'm going to keep on saying it. That doesn't always feel good. Because oftentimes, Jesus or the Holy Spirit points out something in our lives that he wants to change. And you know what it feels like? It's conviction. And we don't always like what that feels like, do we? But I'm encouraged, look, don't back away from that. Embrace that. Because that's God saying, look, there's something in your life that's stopping you from becoming all the person I want you to be. There's something in between us. So as we pray to him, as we lift our needs to him, as we could and invite him to speak to us in this area of confession, we're allowing him to point out those things that hinder us from becoming all that he wants us to be. So we spend time in confession and in inviting his forgiveness. And then Thanksgiving. And every one of us has something to thank God for, don't we? We do. You have something right now to thank God for because you're breathing. And I'm breathing. And so we enter into, individually and as a family, into a time of thanksgiving, then finally a time of supplication, which is offering up our needs to him. We've talked about that over the last number of weeks. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Here's what I'd like for you to think about this morning. Where do you need to start? Where do you need to start? Where can you start or help lead others in their prayer life? Maybe you're here today and your prayer life has been one of those hit and miss, or maybe you've gotten all kind of wrapped up and God hasn't answered my prayer, when what he's doing is just waiting and he's taking you through something. He's answered your prayer, but are you growing in him, in your trust in him, in your relationship with him? Where are you? Have you started? I'm going to invite us in just a moment to pray. I'm going to invite you to open up your heart to him in just a moment and ask God, how am I doing in this area? I believe that nothing happens outside of prayer. But I also believe that as we pray individually and as a faith community, God's going to do some incredible, amazing things. I'll tell you this morning, early as I was praying over the teaching this morning, I became acutely aware of this, and that as we pray, and as you pray, and as we pray as a faith community, for Jesus to open up doors of opportunity for us to make a difference. And so what I'm committed to, and I pray that you are too, that we will live in such a way that a difference is made in our individual worlds and in this faith community, that we will make a difference where we're located, and we'll make a difference in the areas in the world, in India and in Spain and in Africa. We'll make a difference, and it will be the result of our prayers. I became acutely aware that as we pray, there's an enemy out there that is warring against us. But don't you know that we're victorious? We are. And we know that, but he's called us to pray. Patty, come on up here. This is an incredible story of God opening up doors, what I believe as a result of prayer. This is Patty, and Patty leads a ministry in our area, and she's been in our parking lot during our Easter weekends when we have our Easter family day, and that Saturday, and she's had a booth out here. And I remember last weekend, Easter weekend, you came to me and shared with me that you just led a student to the Lord standing out here in the parking lot. It was really a cool moment, really exciting moment. But Patty, you represent the Good News Clubs. And so tell everyone here, if you're not familiar with Good News Clubs, are what they're all about.
All right, so Good News Clubs are a ministry that is worldwide. And what we're able to do is, specifically in the U.S., is we're allowed to go into the elementary schools and middle schools and do a Bible club. And so we're able to go into the schools and give the gospel and tell the kids Bible stories and verses and sing songs with them and give them the straight up gospel and give them an invitation to respond and get saved.
Now, that's what a Good News Bible Club is. Now, here's the answer to, I believe, prayer, right? Because you got a phone call, didn't you? So tell us about that phone call.
We got an amazing phone call a couple weeks ago. The North Kitsap School District gave us a call saying that all the principals in North Kitsap are willing to work with us and possibly getting Good News Clubs in every single one of the schools in North Kitsap.
Now that's incredible, isn't it? See, that's an incredible story, because you got to know that's not happening in every school across the country. And Patty, I believe that that's an answer to prayer. That's an answer to prayer. And God has amazingly opened up this door where Patty gets a call from our principal saying, look, we want to have Good News Bible Clubs in our school. Do you know, I believe that students' lives will be changed, because just like the student that you led to Jesus out here in the parking lot, that there are going to be students whose lives will be changed as a result. But listen, we've got to take the opportunity. We have to take the opportunity. God has opened up this incredible door, and we're going to step through it. And we're going to do that as a team. We're going to partner with you, and we're going to partner with others in our area to do that. Patty, there are ways for us to be involved, so Tell us about that.
All right, so there's many different ways you can get involved. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not a teacher. I cannot get in front of people. That's okay. We need people that are good at organizing to be behind the scenes. We need people that are willing to pray. We're talking about praying this morning. We need people that will be on a prayer team to pray for the schools. And it does cost some money to be able to do Good News Clubs. We need people that are maybe willing to give money. And also, maybe if God's gift to do with singing or crafts, or we can use anyone. And so if you're just willing to work with it, we can use anyone to be able to do this.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Patty's going to be in the lobby at a kiosk out here. And just like I invited the other gathering, if you'd like to be a part, and I pray that what happens is, you know, you just inundate with people out there, but some of you have to go, and I know that. So I'm going to give you a way to be involved and not have to wait at the kiosk out here. And many of you will, and you're going to sign up to pray. And we're going to do what we talked about today. We're going to offer up to God our schools and our students and our children. Those who have not yet proclaimed Jesus, we're going to offer them up. We're going to believe together that kids' lives are going to be changed as a result of the open door that God has provided for us. So here's what you can do. You can see Patty in the lobby. You can sign up to be on the prayer team, teach, sing, whatever it is you can do. If you want to give, man, God will take care of the needs of this church. If you want to write out a check, you give her a check, you just hand it to her out there. But if you have to leave, and I know our schedules are such that some of us will have to do that, on the Connect card that you have in your program, just fill it out, put Good News Clubs, will that work? And we'll get that to you, and maybe you put your name, I'm part of the prayer team, depend on me, or contact me. We'll get those to Patty so she can do that. So you can stop at the kiosk or fill out your Connect card, and we'll get those to you. It's an incredible opportunity. Thanks, Patty. God bless you, and we're going to help out. Would you stand with me today? Let's stand together.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more, where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. The holiness is Christ in me. And where song to rise to you, when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.
Father, this morning, we offer up to you our needs, our desires. We come to you in prayer, and even now, many of us, Lord, are offering up a deep need in our life. Thank you, God, and we affirm again that you answer prayer, and we declare that we need you. We thank you for this wonderful invitation to lift to you those things that we need, knowing that you hear, as the psalmist says, you hear us and you answer. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. See you next Sunday for a great weekend as we connect with the Wolof.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.